This is The Playbook.
Good morning, everyone. It is BYOQ. Load up the questions. We have the multicast going today, as always. So thank you, everyone, so much. We're rocking and rolling here. Good morning. All right, BYOQ, you bring the questions. I'll bring the answers. I hope to see everybody in Philly, Chicago, or Toronto. Just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. The questions are loading in very quickly. I want to thank you for that, especially. Here we go. What quote is resonating with you right now? Simple question, but meaningful to me, because I only write down, capture for my access. I create a system to access all the quotes that resonate with me. It, for me, is a signal, if it resonates with me, that sometime, because time's a man-made construct, at some time, this quote is going to be meaningful in my journey. And the quote that resonates most with me right now is that if you want great in your life, it will start with hard. If you want amazing, it will start with the impossible. And for whatever reason, that quote, when I heard it the first time, has resonated with me. I've put it in there, into my system to access it. And it has already shown out, but hopefully it will continue to do so. Keep on loading up the questions. Holy moly, got a lot here, Jay. Anyway, I hate to do such a quick one, but do you have someone that would like to ask a question in person? If not, we got plenty here.
Let's take a question online, Dave, then we'll take a question on Clubhouse.
I figured that was pretty quick. Remember, for those people in Clubhouse or those people that want to come live, 0 to 1 takes more time than 1 to 100, especially when I'm looking for those who want to ask questions in person. You know what's so funny also, Jake, about asking questions is I'll even do meetups. And we'll have, you know, somewhere between 1 person and 100 people show up to meetups now. And nobody wants to ask those questions first. And then nobody will let me leave when I need to leave because there's so many questions. I don't know what the energy is of human nature of being the first one. Please come join us. Share your thoughts. Let me know how I can be of service or value to you. All right, here we go. When you say to focus on going from 0 to 1, perfect. What does that mean? Look, to get started, the first mile, the first month, to get started. You know, people have that book, that song, that business inside of it because they're not focusing in on 0 to 1. And here's the interesting thing about 0 to 1, that today we're able to get from 0 to 1 quicker than ever, not just because of the internet, not just because of social media, not just because of the accessibility of the billions of people that can help us. Those are all great reasons, but there's even a greater servant out there. And that servant is called ChatGPT. ChatGPT allows us to get from 0 to 1 faster and at a higher level than ever. We can go ahead and put in, you know, our own thoughts. Hey, write me a book, a 350-page book, as if I'm David Meltzer, speaker, author, entrepreneur, about don't do business with dicks. Here's the lessons I like to teach and the stories and others like it that I'd like to tell. And within minutes, it will go from 0 to 1, not months, not years. So I want people to realize the power of the first mile, the power of the first month, the power of 0 to 1, indicative of human nature. That's why we do have trouble getting people to ask the first question, whether you're a teacher, a coach, whether you're here on Community Clubhouse, it doesn't matter. 0 to 1 takes as long as is difficult as 1 to 100. You might as well use all those tools, those assets to get from 0 to 1. Utilize the first mile, the first month. Utilize all the great help that we have out there in person, on the phone, via social media, and especially artificial intelligence today. When we stay focused on 0 to 1, it's much easier, much faster, much better to get to 1 to 100. All right, Jake, we still have plenty of questions, so I don't know if that has inspired anybody to step out, to step up, and share their thoughts with us.
I think it definitely did, Dave. Let's bring up Gigi here on Clubhouse. Gigi, if you want to unmute yourself, what question is Dave? Welcome.
Hi, happy Friday. So I heard this great quote today, and I think you're the definition of it. How can we make the combination of I with we? like before you're like I, me, and now you're all about helping others. And what is the first step that we can take?
Yeah, it's so interesting because Clinton Sparks helped me with this, and he's like, it's three eyes to make a we. It takes three eyes to make a we. It takes intelligent intuition and inspiration to make a we. Understanding that if we utilize our intelligence and the connectivity between us and everything else, if we use our intuition to the interference between us and everything else, and of course the final inspiration to be in spirit, it takes three eyes to maybe utilize your intelligence, intuition, and inspiration in that we, that collective consciousness. I also will tell you that you can give more with less. Part of the idea of we is abundance, of more than of everything, of a infinite, abundant, unified system of thought that allows us to live in a world of everything for everyone. The we with intelligence, intuition, and inspiration, the three eyes that allow us to be we. And when we realize we can't give more with less, we will start asking the we. We'll start asking the we for more. We'll ask for help. We'll ask how we can be of service. We'll ask, will it help if? Would it help if? Do you know anyone that could help me? The idea of this community, the idea of the meetups that I do, the idea of the VIP days that went around the country, the idea of being of service and of value is to create a community of we, a bunch of we who wants to help each other and know people who could help each other. But in order to effectuate that, we need three eyes. We need intelligence, intuition, and inspiration. We need to know that it's okay to live in a value add world, not a zero sum game, to ask for more. You can't give more with less. And so many people feel shamed by asking for help. So many people then utilize blame and justification in order to effectuate why they're not there. But instead, if you focus in on the three eyes, in your intelligence, your intuition, and your inspiration, if you feel comfortable knowing your who you can help, but also who can help you, and realize that we cannot give more with less. You will live in the we and with the three eyes. If it's free, it's we. So please live in abundance. Focus in on this idea of adding value by giving and receiving and witnessing and being a part of a community of we. We represent those who want to help each other and know people that can help each other, utilizing our higher selves, our skills, our knowledge, and especially our desire within the context of three eyes equal a we. Thank you so much, Gigi, two of my favorite letters, especially when put together. And it's so nice that you have taken the time to be the 0-1 here on Clubhouse and within the community. Let's keep it rocking and rolling. Jakey, BYOQ, you bring the questions, I'll bring the answers. Please reset the room. Make sure everybody knows, invite us. We're going to be in Philly. We're in New York now. Philly, Chicago, Toronto. If you want to come to Collision with us, go ahead, reach out to Jake. We'll be keynoting Collision. We have master classes and during pitch competitions and networking and VIP dinners, whatever you want. Collision is one of my favorite conferences. Come and join us up in beautiful Toronto as well. Jake, reset the room.
Resetting the room. This is the 6 a.m. Pacific time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. Edition here on Pacific Champions, David Melcher's out here. Today's topic, Dave's been doing free Friday training for over 23 years, is BYOQ. So you bring your question, Dave will bring the answer. If you have any questions you'd like to ask here on Clubhouse, just raise your hand or back channel me and we will aim to bring you up. Also, this live on social media as well. So if you have any questions you want to just type out, feel free to do that online as well. Instagram, TikTok, all your favorite social media. And also, right now, Dave is on the East Coast. We're in New York City now. We'll be in Philadelphia on June 20th, Chicago, June 21st, 22nd, Toronto, June 28th for Collision. So if anyone would like to join a VIP dinner or come to a meetup, just email David. David's email is david@dmelcher.com, david@dmelcher.com. Let's continue to share the room, everyone. The numbers are already going up, so continue to share with your friends, family, the whole community. You can do that at the bottom here on Clubhouse. We'll get this BYOQ continuing to roll. So, Dave, I'll pass it back off to you. And when you're back, if you want to take two questions online, we'll bring up a Clubhouse when you're done.
You got it, man. I'm encouraging people, whether it's, I can take people online too, as well. Some people are requesting to go live with me. So let's work on that. And thank you, Jake, for the reminder to share, because I'm sitting here realizing I have not shared the room with anyone yet either. So we want to make sure that we're living by the we and inviting everyone in with our intelligence, intuition, and inspiration. All right, let's rock and roll here. How do you stand out, either in an internship or within our jobs, if it's virtual? How do we stand out virtually in an activity that we get paid for? That's a great question. I think so many people sit on Zooms and don't realize that they have an opportunity, especially because virtually it's much more convenient for leadership to be on in a mass setting, to be able to communicate as we do in our company every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. If your turn, it's a rarity when we have an organization, especially a larger one, to be able to get the attention of the leadership. And so there's one simple way to stand out, and that's ask questions. Ask intelligent questions, intuitive questions, inspirational questions. Ask questions, open-ended questions, to be more interested than interesting. I promise you, if you try to be interesting virtually, you're going to deter or resist or create the opposite trajectory in which you want to create a virtual intern or virtual employee. What I want you to do is to come prepared to a virtual setting. Come prepared by asking intelligent, open-ended questions, by being more interested than interesting. Think about what are the critical issues or critical business issues of what you are doing. Explain what you're doing today. Explain how you can do better by asking questions. Hey, would it help if we did this? Would it help if I did this? Would it help if we change this policy, this regulation, this system, this process? Hey, would it help if somebody explored this? I'd be more than happy to do so. Being more interested than interesting is applicable in every situation, but especially virtually, because virtually you have a greater opportunity to speak to the leadership, especially if you're in an internship role, which is this question pertaining to how we stand out as interns, but it applies to employees as well. We have an opportunity to elevate the awareness of our own intelligence, of what we are interested in, and to improve everyone's industry, career, job, to improve what we do so we all can make more money, help more people, and have more fun. If you want to stand out in your activity that you get paid for, whether you're an intern, an employee, or a leader, come to the table more interested than interesting. Use an open-ended question template in order to facilitate that interest. And if anybody wants to know that format of how we ask, so we can get to a point of would it help if, or do you know anyone that could help me? Two of the great transitory statements of being more interested, to email david@dmeltzer.com. It is a magic formula, a simple magic formula that will allow you to provide value to your company, to your family, to your friends, to your associates. Adding value is very simple, right? Giving people more of what they like, taking away the things that are interfering with what they like. It's that simple. That's what's adding value to everyone. And we want to live in an abundant system, as I stated before, a unified, infinite, abundant system of thought, one of value add, not of zero sum. Interested people live in value add. Interesting people live in zero sum. All right, Bakester, give me direction. Am I supposed to take another question? I think so online. If not, let me know where to go.
Yes, let's take another question online, Dave. When you're back, we'll bring up Tom here on Clubhouse.
Well, I'm not going anywhere. When I'm back, I'll be back. Very, very easy. All right, here we go. So to that measure, we're going to take this one. With AI going in the direction where would you send people to go do research now for real information? I seek information from sources that sit in a situation that I want to be in. I'll repeat that. I seek information for people who sit in the situation that I want to be in. And so the service or the delivery mechanism is irrelevant to the source. I seek the crowdsource determinative upon what resonates with me and what is aligned with the trajectory that I think I'm on or where I want to be. And so the main focal criteria of determining where to get help, not by the mechanism of Google or AI or mail, it doesn't matter. It is the source that I look for and utilizing all of those servants in order to effectuate finding the people who sit in a situation that I want to be, find the credible sources I emotionally resonate with, putting my energy, emotion, and my intellect and intuition in order to facilitate finding those people that sit in a situation that I want to be in, a source that I can trust. And then I use those different mechanisms, especially AI, because we talked about it earlier. It gets me in that first mile, that first month. It starts me from zero to one faster than anything else. So I can utilize AI to find those people, or I can utilize AI to reach those people, or I can utilize AI in order to affect how those people think. There's so many different ways to use AI as a servant, but it is not my master. The master is the source. The source is the one that resonates in my intelligence and intuition and inspiration, the one that sits in a situation that I want to be in. Find the people, know your who can help you and who can you help. It's that simple. We know what we want. The next step is to know who we can help and help. If you don't even know what you want, then I suggest that you go ahead and help someone get what they want, and it will bring clarity to what you want as well. So there are some great emotional hacks within the context of knowing your what, your who, your how, and deciding what to do now and what to do next, creating the great efficiencies, effectiveness, and statistical success, creating the antidote to feeling overwhelmed, creating an antidote to feeling procrastination, and allowing us to, instead of searching for what we already have, to search and apply with our why. Those three I's will allow you to apply the why: intelligence, intuition, and inspiration. All right, Jake, I got tons of questions. They'll keep coming. Email me, david@dmeltzer.com. More than happy to help. I will sign a book, send it to you, pay for shipping and the book. Not a problem. You got to do it. Reach out to me. Jake, reset the room. Tell me where to go.
Got it. Thank you, Dave. Quickly resetting the room. Welcome, one. This is David Meltzer's Hour here on the Breakfast with Champions, 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Today's topic is BYOQ. So if you have a question you'd like to ask, feel free to raise your hand or back channel me here on Clubhouse, and we will aim to bring you up. And of course, you can ask your question online as well. Let's right into it, Dave. Let's bring up Tom here on Clubhouse. Tom, if you want to unmute yourself, what question do you have today for Dave? Welcome.
David, how are you? Thank you for having me. I had a question. I wanted to kind of piggyback on something you were mentioning before about being more interested than interesting. So I'm currently working in a real estate space, but you know, I've opened up a little bit of a side business with email marketing. And how do I know when to like focus on one more? How do I balance them both? I'm kind of starting to be, you know, a little bit more intrigued by the side hustle rather than the main. And obviously, the main brings in more capital, more money.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of doubling down on the main. I love the movie Miracle about the U.S. Olympic hockey team in 1980. And Herb Brooks, the coach, talked about the league's feed the lion. And a lot of people dissipate, dissolve their opportunities and options because they don't focus their attention and intention on their main, on their legs. Because if you focus in on the real estate side of it, utilizing the digital marketing or marketing side of what you're doing, if you focus in on the main, you will have more time, you will have more options, more opportunities and touches of favor. You'll have more money in order to effectuate the side hustles you suggest. I am more a person who looks in the perspective of expansion, not transition, right? So we want to expand our capacity, our capability, our skills, our knowledge and desire in confluence with what we are doing, the activity that we get paid for. And so you will find all the little subtleties of success You will find all the little secrets that will allow you to have more time, more money, more options, more opportunities by giving your attention and intention in the real estate side, by utilizing the marketing side, and pretty soon the natural confluence between the two different interests that you have will naturally move towards the one that will provide the most. Instead of refocusing back and forth and questioning where your attention and intention are, aligning your timing and risk tolerance to what activity you get paid for. I'm a big fan of having someone, if you're successful right now at real estate, lean into the real estate. Now, if that's not true, if all of a sudden you feel the timing and risk tolerance alignment is moving towards the marketing business, then lean all the way into the marketing business and go ahead and create the options, opportunities, and touches of favor. But pick one to lean into to give yourself more options, more time, more money, which makes it easier and easier to expand, not transition, not transition, expand. If both are doing well and you utilize this strategy, you'll be able to hire other people to assist you so you can expand and make both your legs. And so there's many options. The key is to give your attention 7 days a week, what you do, say, think, believe, and feel, because if you do so, it will tell you all its secrets. It'll provide the subtleties of success. Both will become better. Instead of what a lot of people do is get disenchanted with their main, and then what happens is they don't have money or enough time because all of a sudden they put themselves in a position of dissipation and dissolving. And so instead of having more options and opportunity, they have less. And instead of ending up with two thriving opportunities or one thriving expanded opportunity, they end up with nothing. So I want you to focus in on that main, because it sounds like it's still providing, and go ahead and provide time and money so that you can expand into either doing both or doing the one within the context of the other. Go ahead, reach out to me. I can really help with that expansion in all industries. I've been able to really assist people in scaling both businesses or understanding the idea of expansion, not transition. Great question. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for stepping up and showing up on BYOQ. Jake, where should I go next?
Perfect. Thank you for your question, Tom. Dave, you can take two questions online, and then we'll bring up another question on Clubhouse.
All right. We got plenty of questions there, so thank you. Here we go. Can I ask you to reach out to my internship and give a reference? Yeah, that won't count as a question. I'm more than happy to help you. So here we go. Hold on 1 second. I've got to go through all these. There's a lot here. Quick question here. Best purchase you've made recently and why? This is always a funny question because I live in the now. And so it's difficult to see, you know, the information or materialization things being purchased. I would say the best purchase that I've had is I bought these portable chargers, and they're very convenient. They are small, fast, and powerful. They're phone chargers. And I carry, you know, three phones, a TikTok phone, an Instagram phone, and my telephone, and utilizing those in a variety of different ways. So it makes it so convenient, even if I'm on an airplane, to not have any cords, to just pop in these little chargers. And so the reason is the best purchase that I made is provided me the most time, and it has allowed me to dissipate some of the interference between me and my potential. All of us have been in a circumstance, especially if we travel, of our phones dying, the plug not working on the plane, or not having power wherever it may be. So especially if you carry more than one phone, if you're on the phone a lot, these portable chargers are incredible, very convenient. And I'm always looking for little hacks to purchase as an investment. Those I've already paid for those little chargers 10 times over through my last trip from UK to Israel, to Scotland, back to UK, to Indy, to Kentucky, to now in New York, especially internationally, you don't have to worry about any adapters. And now that the battery lives on these things are so big and strong, the speed of charging is so fast, it's much more convenient to carry a few of these things instead of even having, you know, multiple chargers with multiple adapters, let's just say. Anyway, I find that to be a really great question. I love practical questions. A lot of people don't get to kind of the hacks that I know from traveling in 35 years of business. And on average, you know, how do I balance my family and my friends for 200 days of travel or whatever it may be? What's the most, what is one of the most impactful books you've read? Wow. Think and Grow Rich would be one. Power of Intention would be one. A Course in Miracles would be one. The Power of Now would be one. There's some major, the Bhagavad Gita. It depends on where you're at. See, I want my podcast, my books, my information to meet me where I'm at. The ones that seem to meet me where I'm at every single day right now, Power of Intention by Wayne Dyer, Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle, of course, Course in Miracles, Bhagavad Gita, and of course, always Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. I don't think I've missed a day of reading Napoleon Hill for 17 years. It's a must read again and again and again. These are impactful books for me, aligned with my desire, where I want to be, with what's doing well, what's stable, what I think is going to do well. I'm looking for the reminders, remembrances, and recollections to be efficient, effective, statistically successful. I'm looking for the empowerment that exists. And I don't read that many books. I listen to them, but those are some really great, impactful books for me. I got many, many more. If you want to list one recommendation, determinative upon where you're at and where you want to be, go ahead, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Go ahead, Jake. Reset the room. We're halfway through the BYOQ. Let people know where we're going to be, where we can meet up, where they can get my books, whatever else we need. Go ahead. It's time to remember, remind, and recollect for everyone here at halftime at the Breakfast of Champions. Go ahead.
Remind, recollect time. We got halftime here on the Breakfast with Champions, David's Hour. Here in the Breakfast with Champions, thank you so much, Dave. Today's topic, Dave has been doing Free Friday training for over 23 years, is BYOQ. So if you have a question to ask, feel free to raise your hand or back channel me, and we will aim to bring you up. Also, if you're in Philadelphia, June 20th, Chicago, June 21st, 22nd, Toronto for Collision Conference, June 28th, we would love to see you. Just email Dave. We'll be doing some meetups, some VIP dinners, and such. So just feel free to email David. His email is david@dmeltzer.com. David@dmeltzer.com. Can't wait to see you all. And yeah, Dave, let's keep it going with the BYOQ. We got the one and only Dr. Emerald we were actually with last night. Dr. Emerald, if you want to unmute yourself, welcome to the room. It's great to see you here on Clubhouse.
Hi.
Hi.
Great to see you virtually. I was just dropping off Zoe, who you met. She loved the event, by the way, just as much as I did, and my partner. And I just stopped by. There's this store here that's just up your alley because it's called Books Are Magic. And then in front of it, I just met a lovely real estate agent, Trish, and she's doing coffee and convo. And it is that her husband is a former basketball player, I think mostly in the European and Asian leagues. And I got him to join Clubhouse. His name's Robbie. And he's quietly listening from towering above, so I feel very short right now. So usually one of my questions is, what's your favorite book? But I guess for you, what's your favorite experience or travel experience?
Oh my goodness. Well, I get to and blessed to travel so often. And number one has to be with either my wife or my family. So in order to have the best experience in travel, I can't be alone. I prefer people to share and witness these life circumstances with me. Most recently, my favorite travel experience was going to Israel and taking a tour of the tunnel below the wall, where you could see how history has unfolded and impacted one of the holiest, that means together, unified, holiest heights. And what's so interesting is that there is a unified, abundant, infinite system of thought. We're just interfering with it. And you could see how human nature has not changed before Christ. You could see how human nature is still in the exact same place it was when they had the first generation of this wall. And not only as experience of understanding the applicability of human nature to life circumstances and life, but also in this experience, which I got to do with my wife, they have now incorporated extraordinary technology to visualize in a greater capacity what exactly you're looking at. So they have this incredible model, lighting, videos, all different things that were incorporated into this tour, into this experience, that not only allowed me to examine my higher self and how I can achieve or enjoy that consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit pursuit of my own potential, but they actually utilize technology in order to effectuate a better understanding, a greater clarity, more balance and focus on this holy, unified spot, which we're interfering with again and again and again and again, to witness, you know, the fact that 99% of the people on earth believe there's something bigger than them, an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing source. 99% of the people on earth believe in something bigger than them that knows everything and loves them more than their mom. But yet here in the holiest historical holy spot, that for generations, by going down in this tunnel, you can see how we interfere with that unbelievable faith that we've all been given, regardless of your religion, regardless of your spirituality, regardless of your theory, regardless of your philosophies. It's just human nature of an abundant, unified system of thought. So recently, through all the travels I've done, that's been my favorite experience. Number one, because my wife was with me. And then two, because of the amount that I took away, the awareness and appreciation and understanding of human nature at its core, with the number one critical life issue, life circumstance, and issue of being part and parcel of a unified, abundant, infinite system of thought, to enjoy this journey consistently, persistently, in the pursuit of our higher selves, however you define it, our higher selves of everything for everyone. Dr. Nolan, it was so amazing to see you last night. I'm in love with Zoe. She is just a source of light. She just exploded into our room and entertained us. And I don't know how she stayed up that late, but she's incredible. Please welcome your new friends all of our different communities that we have. Have them email me as well, if you don't mind, david@dmeltzer.com. I'd love, as anyone else, to send them a book, to sign it, send it to them. I'll pay for shipping in the book. Don't worry, we'll give it to them. Thank you so much for joining us. Jake, go ahead. Let's go on to the next question.
All right, perfect. Dave, do you want to take, or I'll actually ask you this question online from TikTok. Question, what is your process for writing new books? How long does it typically take, and how long until your next book comes out?
Yeah, so I write, it used to be every 6 months, and now it's sped up because of AI. And so what I do is I outline a book. I capture lessons that resonate with me. So as I'm in conversations at these meetups, at the VIP dinners, at my speeches, at different Q&A, fireside chats, all the different things, IG lives, these Clubhouse Q&As, I'm capturing the lessons that resonate with me. And then I am creating stories, true, amalgamated, untrue stories, to teach those lessons. And I go ahead and categorize those lessons by different issues, industries, careers, jobs, whatever it may be. And then I teach them. And I will teach a chapter of my book in order to facilitate a transcription of that lesson. And then those become the beginning point, the 0 to 1 of my book, because I have outlined a book determined upon whether it's reconciliation, transition versus expansion, don't do business with dicks, all the different books that I'm writing. And I go ahead and then edit it, add more stories, clean it up. I read all 8 to 10 chapters, I write an introduction. I then read the introduction and read it again with more edits to write the conclusion. Then I send it to a publishing consultant to make it real. Now, I've changed that recently because I host so much content. And most don't know that I post a lot of content and publish it and promote it. But the majority of my content is posted into websites you don't see, Instagrams you don't see. And the reason is I understand the power of the servant, the power of artificial intelligence. So now 0 to 1 has sped up from what used to take me months into minutes. And I couldn't publish the books as fast as I can write them now. And it needs to, and it will someday when the community grows past a few million people into tens of millions of people, which it will. It's aggregating, it's exponentially growing and accelerating. But I will be releasing books like Ghosting, man. Every month I'll be releasing a book. But I'm not going to continue being more, I'm not going to stop being more interested in writing books. But now, because I have that content, I can use AI and just say, hey, you know, write a book called Expansion versus Transition. Chapter 1 should be about this. Use these lessons and these stories and lessons like it and stories like it. 2 is this, 3 is so on and so on. Please write me a 350-page book with an introduction, table of contents, in proper editorial fashion, for a book of this kind in self-development, as if I am David Meltzer, speaker, author, entrepreneur, or David Meltzer, legendary executive, David Meltzer, philanthropist, or David Meltzer, father. Because I have so much information out there for that intelligence to accumulate, I now have a huge advantage in producing content that's aligned with what you say, think, believe, and feel. I then can get from 0 to 1 faster, where now I can read it over, rewrite the introduction, rewrite the conclusion, go ahead and send it to a publishing consultant in minutes, not months. So this is, for me, a critical part of what I do and why I do it. And I suggest anyone, whether you want to promote and produce for public consumption is irrelevant. If you're not capturing your essence, if you're not capturing your lessons and stories, if you're not capturing your skills, your knowledge, your desire, your intellect, intuition, and inspiration, if you're not capturing it and promoting it up at least into a repository that can be searched, you are going to fail to take advantage of a great separation that can occur. Think of when you have AI learn you, you can have your entire company put their emails through it and say, hey, write an email as if I'm David Meltzer, CEO of Dave Meltzer Enterprises, or David Meltzer, speaker, author, entrepreneur, Dave Meltzer, legendary sports executive, Dave Meltzer, producer TV shows, whatever it is, it has to have a database in order to facilitate that. But once it does, 0 to 1 becomes so efficient, effective, and statistically successful, it will change your productivity. It'll change your accessibility of who can access you and who you can access, and your attitude. It will allow you to find the light, the love, and the lessons, and others to find the light, the love, and the lessons in their journey, enhancing the community of people that help each other and know people who can help each other. This is a critical advantage that we all are empowered with at no expense or little expense in order to effectuate writing books, blogs, making outlines. 0 to 1 is what I call it. It's the first mile, the first month. It takes minutes, moments, not months. Utilize it. You know how you like to communicate, and importantly, capture that. Post it, whether you promote it or not, into websites that nobody knows about, or Instagram accounts nobody knows about, or go ahead and edit it and post it to those accounts that everybody knows about it. Either way, you will benefit regardless of what you want out of it, your trajectory of where you want to be or better. I hope that helps everyone, because I know that's a very, very common question. And if you need any help, you know, writing a book, podcast, AI, any of those things, look, just reach out to me. I'm more than happy to do so. David@dmeltzer.com. So the training about utilizing technology as your servant last week when I was in Scotland, those replays are available. I'll send those to you as well. David@dmeltzer.com. Jake, go ahead. We got, what do we got? About 15 or so minutes, 17 minutes. Go ahead, reset the room.
Will do. Thank you, Dave. Quickly resetting the room here. Welcome, everyone. This is the Breakfast with Champions, Dave Meltzer's free Friday training. Welcome, everyone. Today's topic is the BYOQ. You bring a question, Dave will bring the answer. So if you have a question you'd like to ask, feel free to back channel me or raise your hand. Or if you'd like to, if you want, Dave doesn't have a chance to get to your question, just email him. He's happy to answer it. His email is David@dmeltzer.com. Dave will be in Philadelphia June 20th, Chicago June 21st, June 22nd, and Toronto June 8th. Collision. If anyone is around or would like to join, just email David as well. We would love to see you there for some meetups and some VIP dinners and events. And we can let's continue on here. We got some great questions, great people in line to ask their questions, and let's continue to get the ball rolling. So let's have a question on Clubhouse. Go ahead. I see you. Yeah, go ahead. Please ask your question. Welcome.
Okay, and this is kind of for you and Dr. Engel.
All right.
I am very serious about this. I'm 85. I am very smart. I've been in the hospital, misdiagnosed, mistreated, bullied by a doctor. I want to go after these people. I have one small voice, but I am a senior citizen that knows what they're doing. I am trying to mentor for all elderly people in assisted living, and where they're using absolutely terrible methods, not what they're doing. It's a chronic condition in this country, wasting food and disrespecting elders. I was misdiagnosed, given the wrong medicine, bullied by a doctor, told a doctor to get out of my room. And I want to go forward. How do I do this? Should I say get it? Or should I mount some kind of a...
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, that's a personal decision on, you know, whether or not you want to take on a mission of supporting and protecting the elderly, especially in assisted living facilities. So there are organizations that you can utilize. And so what I would do is, if you don't know those organizations or can't find those organizations, then I would reach out and feel free to email me or Dr. Emerald to see what organizations would support you in facilitating, right? One, understanding your personal situation first, meeting you where you're at, and then determining, because they deal with this every day and have for decades, determining how best they can create a positive impact. It sounds as if you may need to be moved to a different facility that, you know, what you're participating in there sounds like a unhealthy environment.
I live in a senior apartment. Yeah. I facilitate everything myself. I do my own banking. I don't need to be moved.
Yep. Place. Well, good. Well, what you do need is help. So we need to have people understand the situation and see how they can help you. So if you can reach out to me or Dr. Emerald, you'd be more than happy to put you into contact with those organizations. Thank you. It's what a great share, and we're capable as a community to help one another and know people who can help one another. Thank you.
I just feel there's so many elderly people that don't get it.
Oh, I guarantee. So would love to facilitate help. Awesome. Jake, who do we got up next?
You got it, Dave. Let's bring a question on TikTok. I can read it to you. It's from Dan. The question is, how can I make more money as a car salesman? What tips do you have for me?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, car salesmen have a reputation, many other salespeople, of overselling, back-end selling, lying, manipulating, and cheating. They're looking at one sale instead of a sale for a life, not notating that they're in a perfect position to provide value, to add value. And so, you know, I use that open-ended question template in order to sell more cars, to look into a longer relationship, because guess what? Everybody has cars. Some people have 2, 3, 4, 5 cars. And everybody looking for a car has experienced the lying, cheating, manipulating, overselling, and back-end selling that occurs in the car industry. And so you really can stand out if you utilize the greatest mechanism of value add, of providing more value. And I've created this open-ended question template that particularly works in abundance in the car industry. I just spoke at that event 2 days ago in Lexington and talked about this idea, the perception of value add. And it's a very simple template to ask people when they come in and looking for cars, what are you doing today? What car do you have today? What do you like about it? What don't you like about it? And then using the simple methodology of giving someone more of what they like and clearing the interference between them and what they don't like, we then only have one other challenge: articulating a quantitative value of that vehicle to exceed what they're asking for. And so by utilizing this open-ended question template of, hey, tell me what you're doing today with solar, with, you know, coffee makers, with cars, tell me all the great things about what you've liked about the experience of having that car. Tell me what's interfered with you enjoying it more. And then asking, would it help you if, you know, I got you this SUV that had this many miles and this type of price range? Oh, no. Okay. Would it help you if I got you this type of vehicle at this price range with these features and benefits? Would it help you if? And then be able to articulate a quantitative value to exceed what you're asking for. If I was able to get you a green Mercedes with 2 doors and brown leather seats that have 45,000 miles, would that, in that capacity from what you told me, you know, we could get that for $50,000 or $30,000, whatever it would. Does that sound fair? And now we're talking about your capability of articulating value aligned with people, with what they want, and understanding the trajectory of where they want to be, and being transparent and not, you know, selling clear coating after the deal has been set and say, oh yeah, well, these $2,500 is for stuff I've already gone. Sorry, I didn't mention it, or, you know, whatever other the undercoat, you know, upsells of, you know, all types of warranties. And look, just be upfront, articulate quantitative value. You can let people know how much profit you're making. You're in business. Right, look around you. What do you think pays for all of this? Well, it's the $2,200 I'm making on this car. But we've gone to, you know, this amount of effort in order to facilitate getting that car. Does that sound fair? People aren't afraid of you making money. This is a value add philosophy and practice. And it's extremely refreshing. And the nice thing is, if you're capable of managing, developing a vision of articulating quantitative value, not only will that person come back for their next car, but you can ask them, do you know anyone else that I can help? And they're going to be more than happy to provide value to other people because of the experience that they've had with you, your transparency, your capability of meeting people where they're at, providing what they like, clearing interference with what they don't like, and articulating a quantitative value aligned with what they want, not re-engineering a vision through overselling, back-end selling, lying, manipulating, cheating. If you want to be the top automobile salesman or any salesman, learn the open-ended question template, utilize meeting people where they're at and giving them more of what they like and clearing the interference of what they don't like. And I promise you, you will be successful at any type of sales, especially in an industry that has a reputation of overselling, back-end selling, lying, manipulating, and cheating people. So go ahead, make a difference, manage and develop that vision, and manage and develop that value. All right, Jake, we have 9 minutes left. Where should I go? I got tons of questions on all the different platforms. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do?
Let's do it. Let's take, if you could take 2 questions live online, and then we'll bring up the last question here on Clubhouse, or if there's time, we'll bring up more questions on Clubhouse.
All right, perfect. What is the best tool for getting through procrastination? The 5 daily practices are the best tool for procrastination and feeling overwhelmed. So, you know, most people who procrastinate live in a world of nothingness. They live like tubes, food in, food out. They live in Camus the Stranger, a myth of Sisyphus, pushing a boulder to the top of the hill every day just to have it roll down to the bottom the next day. Therefore, no inspiration to get anything done. So therefore, because of the feelings of nothingness and participation in the perspective of nothingness, they procrastinate instead of enjoy the consistent everyday, persistent with a quick pursuit of their own potential. And so utilization of the mechanism to take us out of the world of tubes, thin food out, out of the world of Camus the Stranger and the myth of Sisyphus, we now can just think about every day, what is it that I want today? In a trajectory of where I think I want to be in the future, giving meaning to the defining moments, void shortages, obstacles, success, failures, historical relevances of the past. And if I give the right meaning to my past in a trajectory to the infinite future, not limiting myself by my own self-image, but instead focusing my attention and intention on what I want today in that trajectory with that meaning, I know a possibility for the day, personally, experientially, giving and receiving wise. I then can ask myself with that possibility, who can I help and who can help me? Making that nothingness possibility into a probability, a mathematical advantage. Well, again, curing me from any type of feeling of procrastination or overwhelmed. Then I can ask myself, how? Creating a perspective of the possibility and probability by studying my time today, the activities I planned, I don't have planned in my sleep, activities I get paid for, I don't get paid for, allowing me to utilize my time, making sure I have my non-negotiables of health and family, finance and friends, whatever your non-negotiables may or may not be, by utilizing lenses of being productive to provide value within this system, this unified, infinite, abundant system of value and thought, utilizing accessibility of that system, accessing what I want and being accessible to others to give what I want away or have it stolen, lost, or cheated even, acknowledging what I've had, acquiring the knowledge of that through appreciation of the past, adding value to my past by learning the love, the light, and the lessons in it by knowing my how, but also appreciation of the future. Appreciation of the future is faith. Faith that my own self-image is not limited, that I can achieve whatever it is in a trajectory of what I think I want or better with radical humility, that I'm protected and promoted. And if I know my how, I now have a positive perspective, moves us to the fourth daily practice, which guarantees as an antidote to procrastination, knowing my now. You cannot know now or your next unless you know what's important to you. Not what's important to others, not what's missing, what you don't have, but what's important to you. What other people think is none of your business. What other people think of you is none of your business. What other people think for you is none of your business. Simply know what's important to you, knowing your what, a possibility, your who, a probability, and your how, your perspective, then you will know your now. And if you know your now, it's impossible to procrastinate or feel overwhelmed. And you will know your next. When you know what, who, your how, you will know your now. And instead of searching for your why as a fifth and final daily practice, instead of searching for more health, more happiness, more wealth, more worthiness, you'll start figuring out what you're doing to interfere with it. You'll start figuring out the fear of the past and the fear of the future. You'll start figuring out which ego-based consciousnesses you are prescribing to that fear, creating more and more interference, accelerating you into a trajectory, creating more voids, more shortages, more obstacles in your life. Instead of resisting it, going over and under it, through around it, denying it, instead of overselling it, back-end selling it, cheating it, and lying to it, you simply will know your baseline, your higher self. You'll stop and breathe, recollect, remind, and remember what you want, who you can help, who can help you, and how best to get it done and reprioritize accordingly. You will maximize your day by not spending months, years in interference, but instead minutes and moments. This minutes and moments philosophy of daily practices based off of the light, the love, and the lessons of the past, the meaning of the past, in a trajectory towards a better place, a better position, a better situation, a better you, will allow you to apply your why. living with intellect, intuition, and inspiration, being part and parcel of a unified, abundant, infinite system of thought, knowing and appreciating the past to get you to an appreciation of faith in the future, that there's something bigger than you, an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing source that loves you more than your mom and protects and promotes you every time that you experience an indicator that you have a better place to be, called pain, setbacks, failures, mistakes, voids, shortages, obstacles, even successfuls, defining moments and historical relevances. Know your what? The nothingness goes away. It becomes a possibility. Know your who? Possibility turns to a probability. Know your how? The probability turns into your perspective. Know your now is the antidote to procrastination, and it becomes your reality. Apply your why, the reality aggregates, compounds exponentially in its outcomes, and accelerates to allow you to enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit pursuit of your potential. All right, Jake, you have someone, or you want me to take one last question? We got 3 minutes.
You're rolling right now, Dave. Let's finish up online. One more question.
All right, here we go. Excuse me. Here we have, have you ever experienced imposter syndrome, and how did you deal with it? Every day. I don't like the word syndrome. I know my friend Craig Siegel brought this up last night at the VIP dinner. You know, syndrome just gives energy to something that doesn't exist. But do I feel like an imposter? Do I not feel worthy of who I am, I'm doing? Do I limit my own self-image, even though I know I can never overachieve my own self-image? Every single day, I feel as if I'm not enough. And what I've gotten good at when I get kicked in the face every day, whatever fear is, the past, creating resentment and guilt or shame or fear of the future, presented with worry and anxiety, whatever fear it is, when I'm faced with it and I feel not worthy or as an imposter, I go ahead and identify it and I utilize that fear. I don't realize to accelerate in the wrong direction, to give energy to it, to create more insecurities, more fears, but instead I stop. I breathe through my nose and out through my mouth. I drop down to that higher self, recollect, remember, and remind myself of the what, the who, how, the now, and apply my why. I feel an imposter, I stop, I drop, and I roll. Why? Because when I feel like an imposter, my mind, my body, and soul on fire. Everybody knows when you're on fire, you got to stop, drop, and roll into a bigger and better future with the appreciation of the past, and of course, that appreciation of the future, faith. All right, Jake, it's time to hand off this baby. It's been an incredible hour of power, as you like to suggest. We are blessed to be here every single Friday for over 23 years. BYOQ is one of my favorites. Please, anyone, if you like those guides or my book, or need any, just email me, david@dmelcher.com. We're going to be in Philly, Chicago, Toronto. If you'd like to come to Collision with us, if you'd like to do a dinner, a meetup, or you just want any help, there's the dates. Go ahead, email me if you don't put it down, if you're driving, if you're walking, but just email me, david@dmelcher.com. Jake, close out the room. Thank you so much, everyone. I appreciate you. Remember, most importantly, be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds. We'll see you later. Thank you.